with Dr. Keith Suter.
Iran's president has blamed Israel for the killing of a top nuclear scientist on Friday and said it would not slow down the country's nuclear program. It also said Iran would retaliate over the killing at a time of its choosing. An Israeli cabinet minister said he had no clue who was behind the ambush by gunmen. Israel has previously accused the physicist of being key to a covert nuclear weapons program. The scientist was Iran's most renowned nuclear scientist, who headed the Ministry of Defense's Research and Innovation Organization. His killing threatens to escalate tensions over Iran's nuclear program with the U.S. and its close ally, Israel. Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions joins me this afternoon. Good afternoon, Keith. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon, Brent.
This came about on Friday afternoon. It's not good news at all, is it, Keith?
No, it's not. Mohsen Farq Rizabeh was the father of the Iranian nuclear ambitions. They hadn't yet developed nuclear weapons, and there's a big discussion going on behind closed doors in Iran whether they want to make peace with the West or whether they want to develop their own nuclear weapons. It is interesting that the we know a lot already about the assassination. There was a hit squad of 12 people with a support team of about 50 inside Tehran overseas. And this fellow was certainly a very important person. He traveled in a convoy of three vehicles. So there was a major fight on the roads as the assassins had to kill the people in those bulletproof cars. In the case of the nuclear scientist, he was dragged out of the car and then shot just to make sure that he was dead. Interestingly, not one assassin has actually been captured or killed. So whoever planned the operation would see it as a great success. It really sounds a bit like something out of a James Bond novel, really. We assume that Israel is involved. Whether they're actually Israeli Mossad agents doing it, we just don't know. And Israel never comments upon these types of operations. We've had a string of Iranian nuclear scientists who've all had murderous ends over the last decade. And so this person is simply the latest for that. And, of course, at the beginning of the year, we had the Trump administration's decision to use a drone strike to kill one of the senior leaders of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, Qasem Soleimani. So it's been a bad year for Iranian leaders in terms of their being killed. The question now is, what's going to happen? Will the Iranians retaliate, and if so, against whom? They, not only as Iran as a country, but they have various proxies, like Hezbollah in Lebanon. So they could actually kill Americans in Lebanon, in this sort of shadow war that goes on. Why would this occur at this time? Maybe because there's a worry that with Trump losing the White House, Biden will seek to revive the nuclear agreement with Iran, which was cancelled by Donald Trump. So Biden was vice president at the time of the Obama administration. And Obama is one of his major foreign policy successes, negotiated this deal with Iran for Iran not to acquire nuclear weapons and for the international sanctions to be lifted so that people could go back to, for example, being tourists in Iran. Trump came to office, and because that was an Obama-era agreement, he cancelled it. And so whether this is a move to prevent Biden from trying to reinstitute that agreement by stoking up a lot of anti-American feeling within Iran. Because within Iran, you've got some people, like the current political leader, educated in the West. In fact, I think he's got a PhD from Glasgow. He would take the view we've got to make improvements in our relations with the West. But you've got other hardliners, particularly religiously based, who are saying, no, we're on a collision course, we're going to have a war against Israel and against Saudi Arabia. Oh, and by the way, there are also rumors of the Israeli prime minister flying on a top-secret mission to to Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago to speak to Mohammed bin Salman, the effective leader of Saudi Arabia. So these are two countries that are supposed to be hating each other, and yet they're being brought together because of their common hatred of their mutual enemy, Iran. So we see how this sort of intrigue is going on. Now, will Iran retaliate by killing Americans? That will then force Trump's hand. Now, Trump is building up the American contingent in the Gulf area. There's a giant naval contingent sailing back. They've just been training with Australian ships, as long as with Indian and Japanese ships, in what are called the Malabar exercise. That American nuclear flotilla is now, instead of going back home to the United States, is actually being sent into the Persian Gulf. Now, is Trump getting ready for a surprise attack on Iran? If Iran starts to kill Americans, that'll be the signal for Trump to strike. Will they leave it perhaps until January 20? The problem is that you've got so much anger in Iran, the political leadership can't be seen to be doing nothing. They have to be seen to be doing something. So it's a very dicey situation indeed.
Keith, why did Trump cancel the Obama agreement?
He didn't like Obama's agreements. You know, it's really basically as simple as that. It was very controversial because you've got hardliners in the United States who would say you can't do deals with Iran. And Obama managed to beat those people down and get the agreement sorted out with Iran, involving also the UK, France, Germany, Russia and China. They all came on board for this agreement. It's a magnificent diplomatic achievement. Obama didn't have much to show for in 8 years in office, I've got to say. This was one of them. And Obama's agreement was cancelled by Trump. Now, partly out of spite, because he hated Obama, maybe because he was also under pressure from the Israeli lobby in Washington, who didn't like the deal, because they also see Iran as a major threat. And so perhaps are also clearing the decks ready to get ready for a war.
Mohsen Farkhrizadeh was supposedly, according to rumour, possibly working on a bomb.
Yeah. So what happened is that with the Obama administration, Iran agreed to stop its nuclear research. Now, the Iranians are saying, well, we're doing nuclear research because of the need to develop civilian nuclear energy. Don't forget that back in the Whitlam era, if you're old enough to remember that era, Australia was thinking of selling uranium to Iran. The Shah wanted to buy our uranium. And in the Whitlam cabinet, you had F.X. Connor, who took the view that, no, the uranium that we're going to sell is at too cheap a price, we'll keep ours in the ground and we'll wait for the price to go up. He got that wrong, but luckily it had a good outcome, because otherwise there would have been Australian uranium in Iran at the time that the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power in 1979. The Ayatollah said that nuclear power is the work of the devil, so he closed down all of the Shah's nuclear research. But it's only been in recent years that Iran has been developing these nuclear ambitions, which they say are for civilian purposes, because they're saying, well, eventually our oil is going to run out, therefore we've got to go to nuclear energy. You've got nuclear energy being produced elsewhere in the world, why not here in Iran? And so they then were starting to develop a civilian nuclear industry, and of course people got suspicious that they're going to produce nuclear weapons on the side, which is what the Indians did secretly to acquire their nuclear weapons. Obama made the decision to negotiate with Iran for Iran to agree to stop their nuclear ambitions on the understanding that the West and other countries would ease the sanctions on Iran, in other words, bring Iran back into international society and enable foreign tourism and et cetera. That was the deal. It was a major achievement by him, which for a while stopped Iran's nuclear ambitions, because the nuclear sites were subject to international inspections. And so the scientists could see whether or not the uranium was being used simply for civilian research purposes, or whether they were trying to enrich it more significantly for weapon purposes. So it was a great deal that Obama achieved, and then Trump discarded that And the hardliners in Iran, in effect, were able to say to their political leaders, there we are. We said you can't do deals with the Americans. Let's get back to developing nuclear energy with the idea that it could be nuclear weapons. And that's where we have been now for the last couple of years.
Iran have said they're not rushing to retaliate. Do you believe them?
I think so, because they've got to work out whether they would want to tempt Trump, giving Trump an excuse to attack Iran in his last few weeks in office. Remember, Trump is now gradually recognizing that he will be leaving office on January the 20th at midday. But until that time, he remains as commander-in-chief. And so he does have the power to launch an attack on Iran. And the Iranians know that. Now, whether the American military would actually go ahead and carry out that instruction, of course, is another matter. But they know there is that risk that he could perhaps order a bombing of say, Tehran or something, because the U.S. military strength is just so overwhelming vis-a-vis Iran. And so that's what the Iranians are worried about, whether you provoke Trump for his last few weeks in office and you end up with another war on your hands.
Unsettling times, unsettling times. We'll leave it there. Thank you, Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions, for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. It's a mess. It really is.